Hey Craig, how's it going?
It's good, man. It's good. We're recording this the day before Thanksgiving, and these are like my two extra work days that I get on everyone else in the US that takes tomorrow and Friday off. So yeah, these are really kind of fun downtime days that I just get to work on whatever I want because the business doesn't really need a lot from me. In the next couple of days, about two-thirds of the team is off. So it's nice. Yeah.
You won't get a full extra day on the SaberSim team though, because Thanksgiving right now is obviously a bit different this year. It's like we're not doing like the full big family event, so it's just gonna be like a quick distance lunch, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is, and we're gonna do that. But it's gonna be like I also have to get a morning of work in just because there's a big day of football tomorrow.
Right.
So I at least have to be clocked in the morning, but I'm gonna try to disconnect in the afternoon at least. But we'll see. At least leading up to it, though, these like yesterday and today, there I think there's been like soccer and maybe some esports. I don't know. But so there hasn't been many sporting events going on that are big in like the daily fantasy world. So it's been a quiet break kind of leading up to all this, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I found it to be a very slow week just with, I mean, I measure slow by support.
know, no, that's like, all, that's all I am
not,
doing.
Not. You know, using the app that much and pinging us and all. I mean, trials are still the same. But yeah, it's nice to have a kind of quiet week. But yeah, I mean, I think as part of like getting into the holidays, I think something that we'll talk about more is like thinking about what the first part of next year is going to look like. And I think both of us are kind of looking at something that I find really challenging to get, quote, right and like done is like design and UX. And I know you guys are going through kind of a project there right now. So I thought it'd be fun to talk through kind of what we've done and where we are and what kind of our aspirations are and kind of how we think about and manage the process, because neither of us are designers or even like product people. I feel like product people have an edge on us just because they've done this several times before. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is another how to do X when you don't know how to do X episode. It's like how to manage technical people when you're not technical. Like we've got a lot of these kind of things where, and I think all founders can relate, where it's like, all right, how do you do this thing that or manage this process but you don't really know how to execute on yourself? And I don't know, do you feel like you have a taste for design? Like, I feel like most people can pick out what is good design and what's not. But like beyond that, like, do you feel like you can kind of appreciate and notice the nuance of like when things are off, or what is your eye like in that sense?
Yeah, this is one where like, I didn't know how bad I was until we got somebody who was really good. And they were like, we need to redo this. And like, we've seen some positive impact from that. So no, I definitely don't have an eye for it. And it's something where I know I have a decent eye for UX for like, okay, this just doesn't make sense. Like this is not how I want the flow of the app to be. But design, no. And like we have a freelance designer that we work with on a regular basis. Like he's always kind of doing something for us. And he's amazing. Like mocks stuff up, sends me stuff in Figma. We run through it and like it's a really good process. We've been doing that for almost a year. It's helped a lot. But yeah, I know you guys have kind of like when you bought and took over SaberSim, you were kind of like at a place and then redesigned it. And like that's taken several iterations. So like how has that process been so far for you guys to like revamp and revisit after that?
Yeah, because I'm someone who this is probably just like one of the major annoyances that like my wife has with me and just friends and stuff. It's like little things just like bother me a lot. And I notice a lot of little things. So like on just like inconsistencies in design and just things where it's like, oh, why was it done this way over here in the app, but not that way there? Those things just like really annoy me. And so it's not necessarily that I have like a great eye for design. It's more like I just get annoyed by all the little random shit that like doesn't seem consistent to me. And so like that helps me kind of, it does not at all help like getting something off the ground. But once I have something existing, I feel like it makes it easier for me to kind of critique and adapt and get something delivered. And so when we took over SaberSim, Matt, the founder, was pretty far along on basically an entire rewrite of the app, and it was like taking it in a slightly new direction. And it was, to me, it was like, all right, this is the first version of SaberSim looked bad from like looked physically like it was just not appealing and it was hard to use. And the second version looked better, but it still just like looked what it was. It looked amateurish. It was just very clear that like, all right, a professional did not design this. And honestly, like most of our competitors didn't look much better. The bigger ones did, but like it wasn't crazy. But where all the competition really was lacking was on the UX side of it. And so I knew we wanted to do something there, but like neither of us could just like get in there and design something new. And Matt did the best he could with just kind of like the standard libraries and frameworks and stuff. Like he just used what they gave him. But so we were lucky that at the time, Jane Portman, who's behind UI Breakfast, she was available for consulting work. And so we brought her on and worked with her for a few weeks. She does design, but with a very strong like UX focus. And so we were able to just like walk through how this all works and get her up to speed on it. And then she came out of that with like high fidelity mockups that Matt could then just implement. And so that was like an amazing process for us. And I honestly don't know, like, I think it'd be hard to replicate without someone who can do like the actual UX work and the design work, because it's I feel like a lot can get lost in communication if you have someone who's going to help on UX, and then someone who's going to take those thoughts and put that into design, and then someone who's going to like implement all that. Like, it was really nice just having her kind of be the bridge between Matt and I in the final designs. And then it was given to Matt in a way where like, yeah, he still had to wire it up, but like it wasn't that crazy to do. So for you, like, are you planning on just you kind of working with the designer on this, or are you bringing someone in to help with UX who kind of has more of a focus there, or what are your thoughts on how you're going to tackle it?
Yeah. So Jane designed the Castos dashboard too. And I mean, it's changed quite a bit since then, but she kind of designed the first iteration of it. And she's great. I mean, she has really good UX chops, is a good, like, clean designer. And yeah, I think that person is really valuable. The guy, Francois, on our team that we work with is similar in a way, maybe with a nod towards design instead of UX.
What I'm thinking about is that, like, now that I'm talking about this more with you, I think I was very fortunate in that I was able to come in I honestly didn't use the original version of the product and I was familiar with how the other tools in the space worked, but like didn't use those either, and really just use like home built tools that I had for the space and stuff like that. And so I kind of came in without any preconceived notions about like how a lineup optimizer is supposed to work and how these things are supposed to do it. And like, I didn't spend months and months building it. I wasn't too close to the problem. So I really was able to kind of work with Matt, who is the deep product expert, but obviously had been building all this himself and was really in the space and had his own kind of biases there, and then bridge that with Jane, who didn't know the space at all, but understood UX principles and could kind of push back on things with Matt, where I'm like, why are we doing it that way? Like, do we actually have to? And explain to Jane why, like, yeah, we actually do have to do it this way because of that. And so it gave us an outsider's perspective, which I am kind of like thinking about your situation. I think it's just going to be hard to pull yourself out of, like, you've been in this for years. So thinking about it from like scratch is just, I don't even know how I would like mentally get to that spot.
Yeah. And I think it's worth kind of like laying some like framework of like what we're talking about. Like, the two considerations are like the marketing site and the blog and the app. And I think we're more talking about the marketing site and the blog that we're going to be redesigning. because part of it is, you know, like every couple of years, you got to look at like doing a website redesign and stuff like that. And that's like what we're looking at doing is like looking at our brand and our colors and our fonts and stuff like that, and making sure that we're relaying the right message on the site. This is an interesting thing to the people that we already serve and or to the people we want to serve, because I think they're not always the same group of people. But that's like what we're really looking at. But then we also have to make sure that we carry that stuff over into the app too, right? Because like the fonts and the colors and generally like the layout and stuff. But I don't think we're planning on redoing the whole way the app works and looks and stuff like Drip did a couple of years ago. Is like they just one day everything was different. And like that's just really disruptive. Like we've done that once already. And I don't think generally that we need to do that in the app, but kind of need slash want to do that in the on the marketing site.
What, to not necessarily push back a little bit, but just try to understand more, like what's making this a priority for the marketing site? Because like when I joined SaberSim, there wasn't a marketing site really. It was like that when you went to sabersim.com, it was part of the app and it was just like, hey, start a trial. And I don't know if there's like, I think somewhere you could get to like a Squarespace blog. I don't even know actually how, but it was like, it wasn't as though it was a question of like, hey, should we do something here? It's just like, no, like we don't really have a marketing site. We should probably build one. But for you guys, like you have one that, from an outsider, like it looks nice. I know you're ranking pretty well for a lot of the terms you're going after. So like what is making you want to really push in this direction?
Yeah, I think part of it, and I suspect it's the same for you guys, is like the market, quote, our competitors and our customers come in wanting and kind of needing the best. And it's a way we can differentiate ourselves, I think, is like having the best marketing site and kind of app experience, because like to an extent, like podcast hosting is podcast hosting, right? It's not super complex. I mean, we're doing some things to make us different from the competition, but I think that like design UX is one of those things. That's part of it, is like this could be like a differentiator for us. Like when we did the redesign a year and a half ago, I think that helped and got us like along that path. And then doing this again, it's going to be like 6 months from now, probably, but we're starting to kind of sketch some of these ideas out to just give it like a refresh of like more polish, more interesting look, faster. You know, like we're going to do some things in like how the site is delivered to make it faster. So yeah, that's what we're kind of looking at. I don't know. Do you guys look at the same way? Say like we have to be the prettiest, best looking app out there to be able to compete the same at the same level as the competition?
This is where it gets different. Like on the marketing site side, we are. It's just like objectively, there's not, the competition there is just like not super savvy on the marketing side. And so the sites kind of reflect that, where they either just don't show much and it's hard to even get started and they like look fine, or they just have a shit ton of content on like, and it's just overwhelms you and like you don't even know like what the product does. So it's just like the playing field makes it like it just set the bar a bit lower for us to clear. So when I came in, like, yeah, we worked with Jane on the app. She put together a brand guide in terms of like colors and that kind of thing. And then I just went to 99 Designs and got someone to kind of mock up, or not even mock up, just like design the different screens and page types I'd know we'd want for WordPress, and then worked with a developer to actually build those out. And like just thinking of it from more of like a marketing background, that alone I think put us ahead of the competition. Whereas I know in your space, it's obviously a bigger market, more competitive, and you have like some very design focused competitors. So it's a bit different. Whereas I felt like I think our site looks nice, but I didn't have to go like an ultra high-end designer to get there. And there's still things that I think we could improve on it, but they're not big enough priorities for me to really rock the boat there. But yeah, looking at your market, it's definitely a bit different.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that these two things go together, like positioning and brand, and we're thinking about them at the same time, not at the same time. We're thinking about positioning and then brand. And I think it makes sense to do it that way because we're deciding who we want to be and how we want to talk and look and kind of present ourselves to the market at the same time. And they definitely go hand in hand. And so like, I think that's part of the reason that we're thinking about positioning. And if we're going to change up our positioning a little bit, or at least kind of address it, maybe change like the H1 on site and stuff like that, then like looking at, does our brand reflect that as well, needs to be a consideration. I mean, there's a lot smarter people than me, and like we've never really thought about it, but I do think that like, yeah, I mean, if you guys are already like kind of the leaders and kind of design and how you represent yourself to the audience, that's great. And you can go focus on other stuff. And I think we do okay. But like, if it's a couple months of work to be the best, that's a pretty low barrier kind of thing to overcome, you know?
Right. And that's where, yeah, like for us, it's the app, I think, like looks the best and probably has the best UX, but it's still not nearly as polished as I think it should be. The marketing site, I think, yeah, there's just not much low hanging fruit left for us there. To make sure you're not putting like the cart before the horse, like is the first thing to think about the positioning and then figure out if you need to do the design, or do you think it's kind of a safe assumption that like the design has to change?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is like thinking about the positioning, and it's like an iterative process. You know, it's like I think about it, I spend an hour kind of brainstorming and refining it, and then I put it down and come back a few days or a week later. And I'm going to run it by some of our advisors and stuff. And like the design stuff, it's not like we're starting from scratch, right? It's like, we might change the font and we might like have some more interesting components in the blog and on the podcast pages. And like what we're wanting to do is have like the educational part of our site be more educational and more like a course or like a teaching tool and not just a blog, you know? And so like, that's part of what we're looking at with like the marketing site redesign. But then the other one, and I think this 100% carries over into like app design and stuff, is I think every website is like a Frankenstein of design stuff. Even if you're like, once you're past version 1.0 of a new design, it's a Frankenstein of like this font and that button style and all this shit. And like, yeah, Jane gave us a design brief that we follow for the most part, but then like we go introduce this new area or this new type of component and it's different, you know? And so like, the marketing site is definitely that, right? Like WordPress is like, we're on WordPress and we use Gutenberg and we have four different sets of Gutenberg blocks for different components on the site. And so they all look a little different. And so like part of it is just like, I want to have 10 different components that I can pick from. And that is the whole site, right? It's a hero, it's a list, it's an accordion, it's a media and text, you know, side by side. And so it looks exactly the same across the whole site, because like, I think if you look at different pages and different areas of pages, like it looks a little different in certain places. And so that's when I talk about like redesigning or rebranding, that's really what it is. I mean, I think that like a lot of what we have is good and we'll bring a lot of it over. I think we'll add and refine a few things to just make the brand experience more consistent. And then like that has to carry over into the app, because that's like from a conversion perspective, like if it's red over here and blue over there, people are like, what the hell is going on here? You know? And then the other thing we're going to do is we run WordPress and we're going to convert how we deliver that to make it a static site like delivered. So WordPress backend and then like one of these JavaScript frameworks and like, yeah, I don't even know, like Jamstack.
Is that delivery for like speed reasons or?
Yep. And security. Yep.
Okay. How clear in your mind are the changes you want to make to how your content is structured?
Not really clear yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause this is making me, I mean, it's been a couple of years since we went through this process, but it's definitely making me remember a bit more how this was driven. And a lot of it was around the content, where I knew we weren't going to have a traditional blog. Our content is more evergreen, is more originally I was going to have like more courses and stuff like that. And now it's just kind of like one-off guides and that kind of thing. But a lot of what I was doing is first planning, all right, here are the types of content that I want to have. Here's going to be like the page hierarchy in terms of just URL structure and like where things are going, what page types we need to support all that. And so I kind of had like the skeleton of like, these are all the pages we need and here's how they're going to interact together. The designer didn't need to like understand a ton about the structure really, but just generally. Then it was just more on the WordPress developer, like really just nailing that down to make sure everything worked the way we wanted it to. But it felt like I was coming at this from a kind of content driven focus, more so than like design focus. And the design was just like, all right, we know what we're trying to do here. Like, let's just make it look decent. I guess all I'm rambling about is just making sure you understand like kind of what bones you need to have there before you kind of start painting on top of it. But I do agree that like, yeah, you want to get all of that out there so that someone can then go through and just kind of clean it all up, make sure it's all consistent. Because yeah, you just build on top of where you start and you'll get things that just don't match right. And it's, I don't know how big of an impact those things have, but I do think those kind of little friction points and inconsistencies definitely add up.
Yeah. Like, how do you decide how a new kind of feature or screen or something like that is going to look? Like, with the kind of design framework and brief that Jane created for you and what you have already there, how do you guys decide, okay, we're going to build this new page. This is what it's going to look like. Like, what does that process look like for y'all?
So, yeah, there's not like a great process or really a process so much. Like, a lot of what we do isn't creating new screens. It's just kind of like adding a new column to something that already exists. And so those kind of pieces are much more straightforward. It's still easy for like layout changes to like we mess up the padding or we just get things like a little bit inconsistent. So there's a lot of like small superficial cleanup we need to make because we didn't have a great process for like how we added those like minor types of things. But yeah, on like the bigger changes, I usually just like mock something up based on like what Jane already built. So I just try to like reuse the elements as much as possible.
Do you use like Figma or
no? I use like Balsamic a bit, but it depends on what I'm doing. So like if I'm working with Brian, who's our kind of senior front end consultant, a lot of times I'll just do it in Balsamic to get something quick. And just be like, all right, like here's how it should roughly look. Those elements already exist in the code. So just like reuse it and get it to look like close to this. And yeah, that's not like great. So where we found ourselves like a couple of years after that first design is there's some things that are just like sloppy, like inconsistent spacing, just some things that like this element's flat, but the other one isn't. It's just kind of like a lot of just like weird things that I think to many observers, it's not noticeable, but I think it's probably perceptible, at least in the sense like they feel it's not like coherent, but it's not like a big deal. But to me, it's like those things kind of like grind my gears a bit. So what was helpful was I forget who is refactoring a UI. I forget who the authors are.
Oh, it's Adam Wathen
and Steve Shoger.
Yeah.
So they put out a book, which was like perfect for me in that it just like actually, because a lot of what I do is just intuitive. I'm like, oh, like this seems like it shouldn't be like that. Or like, oh, the padding here just seems a little bit off. It just like things that it's just feel based. And they kind of went through and like gave a framework and just like how to think about like how these things should be. And so that helped me just kind of go through and do like a quick audit of all just the cruft that has been built up by like my just kind of quick and sloppy, like I don't even want to call it design work, but just like mock-ups and things like that. Because yeah, we haven't had a process. We don't have a designer helping on those things. And it's just me quickly sketching something up and then Matt or Brian just like doing their best to get it in there. But yeah, so I went through months ago and really did an overhaul, an audit of like all the inconsistent things, all the things that we need to clean up, all that stuff, and actually brought in someone from Upwork to do like low fidelity mockups for mobile. Cause that was one thing Jane just does desktop. A lot of our users are on mobile. And like, again, like I'm okay to do this audit kind of stuff, but like I'm not going to do the first pass. And like our mobile experience was just horrible. So we had someone come in to kind of work with me and just like do some low fidelity mockups, because it didn't need to be the full design because we already had those elements created. And then, yeah, just gave this list of fixes to Brian, and he had to do a lot of refactoring because the original version of the app didn't have like consistent, it didn't use like a grid system. It was just kind of a lot of one-off stuff that had been glued together. So he just had to like make it easier to edit to begin with. And then, yeah, like the version he gave me, I'm like, oh, this is fucking horrible. I was just like, what did I do? Like, what did I waste like a month of his time on? Like, I'm
like, you gave him the wrong information, or no, like, why was it not?
It was just like the changes. It's like, I'm visual in that, like, okay, I can go through this checklist and like, this is off, that's off. But like, I'm not, until I see how it all like comes together, I have no real idea. Like, I'm just go, oh, yeah, like this should be that way, that should be this way. And then like, yeah, you did all those things and like, oh, like this just looks like bad. And so then fortunately, like I let it rest for a little bit and then kind of went back to, I was like, all right, like there's actually just a few, just kind of went back into the refactoring UI book. And there were just like a few things that like I had just gotten wrong. I just made bad assumptions on that. When those are cleaned up, it's going to look much better. But it just reinforced the fact that, yeah, like I'm not a designer. I can catch these things. And this was a bigger project than I kind of thought it would be. So I need to have a designer at the end come in and just like clean up all of my like bad assumptions and things like that, and just like do the final polish. But yeah, that's kind of what we're actually in the middle of right now.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. I mean, I think these things are like, we talked about managing developers before. I think these are the things where like we, as like the founders, have like a vision for what we want the end to look like, but I hate to say it, but like not the tools to make that a reality, you know? Like whether you have the eye for detail like you do, or like whether for me, it's not that important, you know, like those things are bad, like handicaps for us, I think, in this respect.
And also just like, for me, it's like, as a founder, I'm used to just kind of doing all these random things by necessity. And it kind of, I don't think it was necessarily ego, but it was just like, it's like, oh, like I get these principles. I can do this. Like, I'm not going to pretend I'm a designer, but like, yeah, this is fine. Like, I really can do this. And it's like, it took a ton of my time and the result wasn't great. Like, it was a step in the right direction. I think we're going to get there, but I should have just brought someone in way earlier on, because like, I'm not an expert here and someone else can do the heavy lifting and I can come in and like dial it in a bit, but I can't. It was kind of crazy of me to think I could just go in and do a much bigger project without like actually having a designer in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's been transformative for us to like, for me to be able to talk with our designer and then he goes and mocks it up and we kind of have a couple of rounds of chats about, you know, hey, yeah, that's not right. I want this over here. When you click this button, this thing should happen. All of this happens like in Figma now. And then I think it's really nice for our developers too, because like when it's done, they know exactly what they need to build, you know, because it's like a working prototype in Figma with all the designs and the CSS and all this kind of stuff that they just go do. So yeah, I think that whether it's, yeah, I mean, we're just working with this guy on a freelance basis. I think on an average month, he invoices me $500 to $1,000, you know?
Roughly how many hours
kind of every major, it's like $45 an hour.
Okay.
And but that's marketing site stuff, like new elements and graphics and stuff on the marketing site. And like we're building a whole new page in the app. And so like it's a whole new page design that's like relatively involved, the pop-ups and how you interact with it and stuff. So
yes,
that's like the kind of work he's doing. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that like we talked the other week about delegating and like working with an assistant. It's like these are the kind of things that I just naturally don't think about. I signed up for one of the like Design Pickle kind of services. I was like, all right, like I was messing around with Facebook ads. I'm like, I know there's a lot of work on the blog that we could be doing, but it's just like, I have a hard, like I gave them like two tasks because I just like couldn't think of the things for them to do, even though it obviously exists. And I just feel like there's obviously, we obviously have a need for a designer to come in and work more consistently with us, but like, I just don't even know where I would begin. So like when you started working with this person, did you have like a list of things? Like, did you just like put it together yourself based on like, I guess just how much management did you need to have? Or like, were they able to come in and give suggestions? Yeah, because I just wouldn't even know where to begin and would just worry that I just wouldn't have work for them.
No, yeah, it's just on like a as needed basis, you know, like he's, you know, whatever, on retainer, right? It's kind of thing. Like, we're always going to need some help with something. And I mean, the way our process works is I try to sketch out in as much detail as I can, because the developers are going to need it, what a thing is going to do. And then I ping him and say, hey, this is the next thing that we're going to be building. You know, and for us, it's like in a month, the developers are going to be ready for it. So we need to do design in this month. And you know, he maybe only works 10 hours a week for us or something. And so like, I write up this kind of brief of what the thing does because the developers need it. He and I hop on a call and we chat through. I usually have like screenshots of other apps and things that I like from them. Matt, actually, from our team in this case, did some balsamic stuff of like, hey, what if we did a thing like this? And then Francois goes and mocks it up in Figma. Like, so we have a call, talk through, he has a bunch of questions to kind of understand why a user does something and what if this happens, what should we do then? And then he goes and mocks it up in Figma and then kind of walks through it in a screencast to me. And I watch that and give him some feedback. And he kind of typically like two rounds of that. And mm-hmm. then it's good for the designers or for the developers to go implement. Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm talking with you about this stuff, it's like, it just becomes much more obvious, like where the value of having better processes around this, these things, because yeah, these are a lot of the areas where we still struggle, but the struggles aren't as like obvious. It's like, we don't at the time think like, oh, this is a process failure that we spend a bunch of time going back and forth on how it should look. And then whatever it comes out with still doesn't look great. And then like, it's just like, oh, we should probably just have someone involved a bit earlier, get clear on the specs and not have Matt and Andy try to be designers. Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, it's one of those super high leverage things. You know, we talk about leverage and like the best thing we can do. Like, if you don't have and maybe it's this person on Upwork that you worked with, is just say, like, hey, we're going to do this thing. You know what kind of our design and look and kind of vibe is. Can you help us design this page? And it doesn't have to be perfect. The first time, our process has changed a lot.
And so I guess kind of going full circle with this back to the initial part you're talking about with thinking about branding, positioning, the new marketing site, carrying it through the app, all of that. Like, how are you going to try to keep this high leverage? Like, how are you going to try to involve the right people? What at this point or in the project, like, how are you thinking about what will actually be involved in getting there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think positioning is almost entirely me.
Right.
You know, I think for you, it'd be like you and your co-founders and Matt. Because I think we're the only ones that really know the whole spectrum, you know? Once we have a really firm grasp on positioning, I'll probably run it by, you know, people I trust and respect, advisors. And then once that's like kind of cemented that this is our positioning, you know, chat with Francois to say like, this is kind of where we are from a brand perspective. Like, are there things we need to change? Because I think he's worked with us long enough to where he gets like what we're trying to do. And so like when I say we're going to try to do a little more of Y than X, like he might say, okay, well, I think that this color or this way this is laid out might need to change so that we can have more room for or more focus on this thing. And then, yeah, he also is like, I don't want to say like a front end developer, but he can go implement all of that shit, you know? So mm-hmm. like he can go redo the website. And so like, that's just, once I say, this is what we want to do, I trust him to go kind of do it. You know, I don't know if that's like an answer to what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I'm excited to hear how it all starts coming together because yeah, I've been thinking about a lot of like bits and pieces. And I think that's where you can lose things, especially you lose that coherence. And so it's going to be cool to watch how you kind of go back in and think about it from a more holistic spot.
Yeah. I do appreciate you keeping me honest about, like, is this the most important thing for us to do right now? Because I think it's easy. Well, it's two things. I think it's easy to get caught up in comparing your design to other people's design.
It's just so obvious. Like, it's so easy to, it's just kind of in your face, and it just, yeah, it's just the easy, most obvious part when you're comparing yourself to competitors.
Yeah. And at the same time, like, I do think it's something that, like, better design is never a bad thing. It's just a question of, like, is it the most important thing for us?
Yeah, how good of a thing is it in terms of like payoff and all that? Yeah.
But it's also, like, not it's financial resources away from other stuff, but it's not taking a developer away from building a feature or a support person away from taking care of customers. You know, it's like a little bit of my time and Francois, who's, like, just dedicated to kind of how our stuff looks. So I feel like it's, I don't know, like, it's not taking away from other stuff, I feel like.
Right. And those are some of the best projects, in my opinion, where you can have someone executing on this, even if it's might have a lower payoff. It's not an either or thing. It's not like you're choosing, okay, team, we can do this or we can do that. You're saying, okay, yeah, we can just have this kind of running in parallel to everything else we're working on and just kind of keep moving forward on the rest of it.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome. Well, this has been, for me, it's been interesting just because, yeah, it's just clear now by talking through this with you, just like a lot of the bottlenecks I didn't realize, a lot of kind of the time wasters and things that are coming up are just because of the lack of process by bringing in the designer early on. And it's just trying to not necessarily remove myself more from the process, but just bring in help who can be more effective than the rest of our team can, because this isn't something that any of us on our team really have a expertise in at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that something else that would be interesting to talk about sometime is, like, brand, you know, like, from a, like, who are we kind of thing perspective. Cause I think that is something that maybe is, like, the first thing in this kind of sequence, right? Is, like, who are we? And then, like, positioning is, like, the result of that almost. And then brand is a result of your positioning. And I hate talking about this stuff sometimes. It seems so esoteric because, like, I'm not, you know, Bezos or someone who can just think about all this, like, hypothetical stuff. But I do think that it is really important, because without a firm grasp on those things, then some of the decisions you make are misguided, you know, and, like, you start seeming like a Frankenstein company where, like, one thing you say means this and one thing you say leads down that path, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know.
No, it's definitely something to think about as we keep scaling up. And just, I hate those kind of squishy topics, but they do matter. And they do shape how you kind of bring the company forward. And if you don't have that kind of guiding, not even just mission, but just principles, it's mm-hmm. easy, yeah, just go in a lot of different directions and all of that. So I think it is something important to keep in mind.
Cool, man. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Hope everybody is, like, healthy and safe and happy. Yeah, we're a few weeks ahead on this, so this will probably go out closer to Christmas. But yeah, I hope everybody out there is happy and healthy. I think we're all grateful for the things we have, even though I think we all feel like we're missing out on a lot. I think we're all very fortunate to have, you know, our health and our happiness in these wild times. So
yeah, things could definitely be a lot worse. So we know how fortunate we are to be in this position. So hope everyone else out there is doing well, and thanks for tuning in. And if you have any questions, any comments, whatever it is, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. And Craig, what are the best places for people to do that?
Yeah, maybe just a comment on this post, you know, seekingscale.com or podcast@seekingscale.com if you want to reach out to us over email.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.